without Jesus Christ. No matter how successful our lives might be or how religiously engaged we are, if Jesus Christ is not my personal Savior, if He's not your personal Savior, we will die and perish, separated from God. Genuinely ask yourself in your heart, if I were to die right now, where will I go? Heaven or hell? If you're not 100% sure that heaven will be your home, there is hope, because God comforts us in 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. When it's your time to leave this world, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. That's why I believe the Lord has given you the opportunity to watch this gospel film. He wants to share His love with you, and He wants to show you the way of eternal salvation. The first thing we must understand is our sinful corruption. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We may consider ourselves to be pretty good compared to somebody else, but no one is perfect. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. No matter how hard we try, all of us fall short of the perfection and holiness of God. I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. The Bible says in 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." Let's be honest with one another. We've all done bad things. We've all broken God's law, whether it's telling a lie, being dishonest, stealing, cheating, taking the Lord's name in vain, thinking lustful thoughts, or being disobedient to our parents, just to name a few. Because of our sin, because we've broken God's law, there is a consequence. And it's a serious penalty. Just like a criminal must pay for his crime, a sinner must also pay for the debt of his sin. Secondly, we must accept the truth of our separated consequence. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is..." death. Romans 5:12 teaches us that death has come by sin, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. To die in our sins without Jesus Christ is to spend an eternity in hell. This is sobering news, but God's word is clear. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Maybe you're thinking, how could a God of love do this? The truth is, He doesn't want to, but He has to. Hell is a place of horrific pain and torment that God originally created for Satan and the fallen angels, a place where sin could be cast away from His sight for all of eternity. God never made hell for you and me. He made heaven for us. He says in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." But no sin can be allowed into heaven. God is holy and perfect. Our own sins separate us from Him. Our own sins send us to hell. I believe that God in His love wrote Revelation 21:8 to make us stop and see what would happen to us if we died in our sins. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. That's why He willingly sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus came for you. He came because He loves you. Thirdly, we need to recognize our Savior's cross. The most famous Bible verse of all time is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, was born of a virgin. He was born to die and take away the sins of the world. He lived 33 and a half sinless years, teaching and preaching truth. He touched the sick and made the lame to walk again. Many believed on him and were healed of their incurable diseases. But he was hated by the Pharisees and betrayed. They mocked and ridiculed him. They falsely accused him and convinced Pontius Pilate that he was worthy of death. Jesus was whipped mercilessly with the cat of nine tails, an instrument of torture that had bits of metal and stone woven into its leather strips. But he endured all of the suffering and agony because of his love for us. They made a crown of thorns and pressed it down into his skull. They cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But this was all a part of God's loving plan of salvation. Jesus courageously went up Mount Calvary outside of Jerusalem and was nailed to an old rugged cross. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. He willingly gave himself as a sacrifice and shed his blood to take our punishment and rescue us from hell. It was my sins and yours that nailed him to that tree. And I believe there was a specific moment as he hung there on the cross when he literally thought of you. He loved you, and he died for you. 3 days later, he victoriously rose again from the grave, and now he offers salvation. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the bad news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the good news. Through what Jesus did on the cross, God has a gift for you. It's eternal life with him in heaven. Of course, a gift is something that's freely given out of love. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. If you did, it wouldn't be a gift. Someone else pays the price and then offers it to you. But you have a choice to make, to receive it or reject it. The gift that God offers you is eternal life in heaven. Eternal life can't be bought or earned by being baptized, giving money away, or going to church. There's no amount of good deeds that you could do to outweigh your bad and get you into heaven. It's only through Jesus. He's paid the price. God's word plainly says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." Jesus declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And Acts 4:12 proclaims, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's only Jesus. And now we have a simple choice. God promises in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, he stands in heaven with his arms open wide in love, waiting for you to come to him by faith and accept him as your personal Savior. According to the Bible, if you were to receive Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation that he offers you, where will you go when you die? The exciting answer is heaven. But if you were to reject Christ and never accept what he did for you on the cross, where will you spend eternity? The sobering answer is hell. Right now you have a choice, a personal decision to make. Why not call upon the Lord and ask him to save you? In this moment, I'm begging you, join with me in prayer. Of course, merely saying words will not save you, but sincerely calling out to Christ from your heart in a prayer of faith will. God is listening. Right now, would you bow your head and simply pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty for my sins. But I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be with you in heaven. I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. I gladly receive your gift of eternal life. I trust in you alone to be my Savior. Thank you, God, for your love and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, did you just trust in Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Praise God. The Bible plainly teaches that you can never lose your salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe or might be, but shall be. God has given you the promise of eternal life. For the Christian, death is now simply a transition from this life into the next. And Jesus gives assurance to all those who've trusted in Him. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Your soul is safe in the almighty hands of Jesus Christ. If you prayed and trusted in Him today, we would love to hear from you. Please contact us so we can rejoice with you. We'd be delighted to pray for you and help you with any questions that you may have as a Christian. God bless you. And please share this wonderful message of eternal salvation, of hope, with as many people as you possibly can.
All right, just think about that for a minute. This week, we just passed 8 billion people on the planet. 8 billion people. That's a milestone. Never happened before. And if we can get the gospel to 20,000 people here on the street, wouldn't that be great? Each child who receives one of these gospel tracts, bag of candy, glow stick, right? There's got to be some incentive there. They're going to take that home, and they're going to look at whatever they got. They're going to bring it in their house. Last year it was Bibles. This year, a great presentation of that is so clear. Every family needs to see that. Now, let's pray that they will. So what I'm just going to ask you is if you would pray between now and December 3rd, even after December 3rd, just pray that people receive this and that they watch it and that they receive Christ. That would be something we all can do. So I'll give you a minute for that here in just a little bit. Before we do anything, Father, I think we finished our announcements. Let's sing another song, page number 441.
Number 441, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand as we sing. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Thank you. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Hang on to your bulletin and that connection card. We're going to talk about these in just a minute. And again, I've got a short sermon, so you're getting off easy, right? We'll see. All right. Psalm 136. Let's stand, please, for the reading of Scripture. We're going to try something different this morning. We're going to try on the first 13 verses, all right? The first 13 verses. We're going to have a church split this morning, all right? Right down the middle. So if you're here, you got that little gap in the pew right there. So Brother Rick, you're just about on both sides. How about that? So right over here, this is going to be the first side of the verse. I'm going to have you read the first side of the verse, verses 1 through 13. And on the second half of the verse, I'm going to have this side read the second half of the verse. We're going to read responsively. And when we get to verse number 14, we'll stop, we'll regroup, and we'll do it the other way. Otherwise, you're going to have the same thing to say every time. So verse 136, for example, we'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And then the second half, for his mercy endureth forever. All right, so let's try that for the first 13 verses. Let's see what we can do. Ready? Here we go. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone doth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him, for his mercy endureth forever. To him, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun, the moon and stars, to him, and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand, with a stretched out arm. To him, for his mercy endureth forever. All right, time out. That was good. Now, that's not vain repetition, because there's nothing vain about God's mercy enduring forever. But that was a pretty easy part, the first half. Now we're going to challenge you, okay? Now we're going to take the first half over here, do the second half over here, okay? So ready? Verse 14. And made Israel but overthrew Pharaoh and his host. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings and slew, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Is there a theme in that chapter? There sure is, isn't there? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we can be seated. Then our choir is going to sing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. Lord, as we read it, as we think about it, may it never get old, that we don't deserve your mercy, but we've been given your mercy. And Lord, may we live according, that we would live worthy of what you've done for us. I pray that you'd encourage us this morning, help us where we need it, correct us where we need it, convict us. For those who may not know Christ as their Savior, we've seen a gospel presentation that was very thorough. Lord, may today be the day of our salvation. Bless now each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Calling, why will he die? We echo in his name. Jesus. salvation. Shout hallelujah, for the Lord is King. All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always.
All right, junior church is dismissed, third grade and under. All right, it's good to have Trent here for a couple days. Trent, we're so glad that you're here and back visiting for Thanksgiving. And we were able to spend some time with Luke and Aaron this week. And it was good to see them on Tuesday. All right, you've been left. It's like the rapture happened. You got left. Hurry, hurry. There's still time. It's not the final trumpet. All right. There are a couple of church proposed budgets for the next year. If you're a church member, please take one of those. They're right here on the platform. All right, grab this connection card. If you don't have one, you need one. And so all my ushers are with the offering. Are there any back there, Brother Phil? See if you can grab some back on the table. All right, so if you don't have one of these, you need one. All right, so please take one. And we let the junior church be dismissed because you're old enough to hear instructions, all right? And I know you'll follow them. So if you didn't get one, please take one. If you don't have one in front of you, you need one, all right? Just walk around, fellas. If you see somebody without one, just give them one. They're too happy to raise their hand. Okay, there you go. If you need a pen, we'll get you a pen. We get a pen, all right? Everyone needs one of these. Now, if you haven't filled one out before, we'd like to have your information here so we can send you a nice email. Okay, we're not going to spam you. We're not going to sell your email. These are in my desk drawer in my office, locked up under lock and key. Okay, so these don't go floating around anywhere. So this is for, and if you filled one out last week and you had prayer requests, I have prayed for each person and your prayer request this week on that list. So be encouraged about that. And I'm just trying to help each one of you if I can. And so if you don't have that information, fill it out. If you're new, fill it out. Names of the people that came with you today, all right? So that's something for everybody. If you came by yourself, of course, you just put self, right? I know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Names of the people that came with you today. Just trying to do a little cross-reference here. We can get everybody's name and fill that out, okay? New information or first-time guest. Now, on the back, you turn it sideways. A sermon topic that would be helpful to people would be what, okay? So here's what I do. Every week, all right, I'm going to move around a little bit. Is that all right? Okay. Every week, I had a young man ask me, is a young man in jail. Pray for the jail ministry. I'll be in there Tuesday. Had a young man in the jail ask me, he believes God's called him to preach. And he said, Pastor, how do you know what to preach every week? And I said this. I said, open up my Bible. I had this Bible right here. I said, right here in the front of my Bible, there's about 25 different themes that the Bible talks about. Now, it's not extensive, but there are a lot of themes that would be a sub-theme. For example, I'm just going to read them to you. God's love, sin, the will of God, obedience, surrender, judgment, hell, faith, second coming of Christ, power of God, salvation, heaven, mercy, praise, forgiveness, separation, grace. I'm not going to read them all because you're going to wonder, hey, I wonder what subject he's preaching on today, right? His mercy endureth forever. That's a giveaway, isn't it? So what I do every week is I ask God to put his pulse on this church, which is every one of us here. Put his pulse on this church. And Lord, what do people need? All right? You go to the doctor and you got a headache. The doctor says, all right, I'm going to give you some medicine for your ingrown toenail. Like, I don't have an ingrown toenail. I know, but it's good because I have to get the pharmaceutical sends me to Florida, right? If I sell so many of these things, right? I know doctors don't do that. All right. So you got a headache. And he says, look, I'm going to treat your headache. All right? I'm going to treat your headache and anything else. But that's the so I ask God, what do people need this week? What are we need to be encouraged? We need to be helped. We need to be patted on the back. We need to be kicked in the tail, right? God, what is it? So maybe there's something, a subject that you think people could use, and you want to add some to my list. That's okay. Maybe something you haven't heard, or something that we haven't covered, as something that is a need in people's lives. So notice it's not you; it's somebody else, right? I know this person that okay. Had a car accident and left the scene of the accident. It wasn't you, but it was somebody you know, right? Okay, so a sermon topic that would be helpful to people, right? So put that down. You can put down more than one. It's a long line, all right? And then there's a checkbox here. Yes, Count me in for Pie and Praise Wednesday at 7 p.m. So this Wednesday, we're having that Pie and Praise service. It'll be a little different. It'll be a little lighthearted. And so I hope that you'll come. So just check that box and we'll know. And then maybe if you have a family of, you know, 27, put that down and we can have extra pie. All right, somebody's making mincemeat pie. No, just kidding. All right, this blank. Next checkbox. Today, I am admitting to God that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You don't know Christ as your Savior. You watched the gospel film. That was so clear. And maybe you're going to make that decision to hang on to these cards. Maybe by the end of the service, you'll have that a little more clear. And we'll collect these up at the end of the service. So please hang on to these. But that's important. Next, I know that I have been born again, and I need to be scripturally baptized. That comes after you trust Christ, all right? If you are sprinkled, dumped, poured, dunked, whatever, and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's like shooting the basketball and you're standing out of bounds, right? It doesn't count because everybody in the Bible who got baptized after they trusted Christ as their Savior, and they went under the water and they come up out of the water because it's a picture of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. So chew on that for a little bit. So I know I've been born again and need to be scripturally... There's somebody who hasn't been baptized yet. All right, not going to get baptized anytime soon, all right? All right, please... Yes, second that. Please contact me about this important step in my growth as a Christian. That means you've got some contact information here. All right? And here's something. Everybody should check this box. We all can do this, but please do it. I will pray for people to view the gospel film as a result of receiving the true meaning of Christmas at the parade on December 3rd. We can all do that, right? It doesn't cost you anything other than we should already be praying anyway. I'm going to put that on my list. Wouldn't it be great if instead of just tossing that, people just took it home and kept it and scanned that code, or maybe scanned it right there and watched it. Last year we had people, what a great thing, what a great film, thank you. We had people walking up and down the street with their Bibles, putting them in restaurants and having them in the store and just walking down the sidewalk. We even gave one to the Grinch last year, you remember that? Mackenzie gave one to the Grinch and that was just fantastic. And so please pray that people would receive this gospel track, will watch this film, trust Christ as their Savior. And then the last thought, what do young people need to learn from the Bible today? If we don't pass on our faith, then we are going to lose Christianity. Ronald Reagan said that freedom is one generation away from extinction. We don't get it in our DNA. It's not passed down through our bloodstream. We have to teach it. We have to have people grasp that concept. The same thing is true with Christianity. It's not in our bloodstream. We have to confront others with the gospel. One day we'll say no more, know the Lord, for all shall know me. But that hasn't happened yet. And it'll be too late for many. They'll be in the lake of fire. So what do young people need to learn from the Bible today? I was reading a book I got from the library. It's from 2017. But it's talking about statistics and the iGen, this latest generation, statistically, along with millennials, has dropped off the cliff of church attendance, and even going hand in hand with that, their belief in God. So many young people do not believe in God. They just don't know. And it's our job to educate them with the Word of God. It's our job to ask them, to confront them. It's our job to pray for them. It's our job to love them. It's our job to go out and reach out to them. They're not reaching out to us. We need to reach out to them. So what do young people need? What's a topic that you think? And so we have a lot of young people around here. I think we have a young church, and it's exciting. And we need to continually reach them with the Word of God. All right, so hang on to that. We'll collect that at the end of the service. Tonight I'll be preaching on the Song of Solomon, chapter number 1, at 6 o'clock. Hope that you'll be here tonight. It's not the same. It's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you miss one, you missed a lot, right? Okay, so you don't want to miss anything. It'd be my job easier, but here we go. So I have on the top a divided church. We don't have a divided church. We have a united church, right? Now here's a praise of thanksgiving. Did you see it at the beginning? Verse number 1, Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Okay, I'm aware of the time. I know it's later than usual. I'm going to talk really fast, right? I saw a sign on the library's website. Are you listening? I saw a sign on the library's website that said, give thanks. But it didn't have one thing. The person to whom we're to give thanks. What are you supposed to do? Just walk around and say, thanks, I'm thankful, right? Give thanks. Give thanks to who? Give thanks unto the Lord. Now, three times in the first three verses, it's mentioned about God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Three times it talks about the Lord being God. And we find here, aren't you glad that you know the person to whom you give thanks? Let's look at this thought. For his mercy endureth forever. Let me give you an outline of thanksgiving. You can jot some notes on the back of that bulletin if you want. A threefold praise to the triune God, the God who always was, the God who is, and the God who always will be. Now, I want you to flip over. Just keep your place here. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We could look at Romans 1 verse 20. We could look at Acts 17 verse 29. We could look at Colossians 2 and verse number 9. And these are the scriptures that tell us about the Godhead. The fact that God is three, yet God is one. But let's, for sake of time, look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. And it says this. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Can you finish the phrase for me? And these three are one. Now, I thought I'd have a little interesting little study here. So the darling of the new church movement is this, the ESV. Now, I wrote on this heresy, all right, so I don't read this. But here's the book that everybody pretends is the Bible and these days, and here's what it says. 1 John 5, 7. Now, you look at your King James Bible there. Tell me what's missing. For there are three that testify. That's verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, right? For there are three that testify. Okay. That's verse 7. So then they kind of say, well, we got to fix it a little bit. So verse number 8. The Spirit and the water and the blood. That's kind of like the next verse, right? Kind of threw the last verse into the next verse. And these three agree. Wait a minute. We can get three people to agree, right? Brian, would you agree that light bulbs are on over your head? Zach, would you agree that the light bulbs are on over Brian's head? All right, I would agree with that too. Are we one? No, we're not one. Okay, we're three different individual people. But God is one. I don't need that. Okay. They took out the deity of Christ. They took out the fact that God is three, yet God is one. And that's wicked. Now, the message is a pretty exciting, lighthearted message here, but we just have to get through that point. Now, if we look at verse number 4 through verse number 9, we'd see six notes of praise to our Creator. We see in verse number 4, it says, to him that alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Six notes of praise to the Creator who made this world. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you think about six different notes of praise, I think, that just comes to my thought, that's one for each day of creation. 6 days. God created things. On the seventh day, he rested. The first day, the light. Let there be light, and there was light. The day is separated from the night on the first day. The second day, a firmament dividing the waters above from the waters beneath. On the third day, the dry land, the seas, the tree, and the grass. On the fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, the days, and the years. On the fifth day, the fowls and the sea creatures, the whales. On the sixth day, animals, and finally man, all on the 6 days. We can certainly thank God for his creation. You walk around and you think, wow, what a wonderful creation that God made. You know, you think about all the idiosyncrasies. I mean, just think about human DNA. I mean, we're just figuring this stuff out now, that there's a DNA inside of our body. It stretches, I don't know, from here to the moon and back. And every single one of us is an individual designer's model that's so unique and so intricate and complicated. And yet, science says, well, it just happened with a big bang. Man, last time I had a big bang, it cost me a lot of money at the mechanic. Boom, there was a big bang. My car did not get more organized. My car got broken down. Big bangs don't fix things. Big bangs ruin things. But God said, let there be, and there was. And God saw that it was good. So we find six notes of praise to the Creator here. In verses number 10 through verse number 15, we find God's care for his people Israel, even in their judgment from sin. Let's look at one verse here for sake of time. Verse number 10. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. Remember the plagues that came over Egypt? And the last one was God smiting them in their firstborn. We call it the Passover. They still celebrate it today in Israel. It's when God said, I want you to take a lamb, a male lamb of the first year. I want you to take a spotless lamb. I want you to kill that lamb and take the blood of that lamb, put it in a basin, put some hyssop weed, a common weed found everywhere. I want you to dip it in that basin, and I want you to strike it on the doorpost of your house and on the lintel, the top that goes over your house. And the Lord said, when I pass through the land tonight, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He said, when I come, I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for, not for the shed blood in the backyard. I'm looking not for the shed blood in the basin. I'm looking for the shed blood applied to the doorposts and the lintels of your house. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. What is he looking for today? He's looking for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, on our heart. He's looking for the blood of the Lamb as our only hope of salvation and going to heaven. Jesus Christ died so you could go to heaven. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again. I can't get to heaven by myself. There's nothing I can do to take me to heaven. There's nothing this church can do to take anybody to heaven. There's nothing that baptistry can do. You can eat all the cookies you want and say all the prayers you want, and you'll die and go straight to hell without the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul. We've got to have that. We find that God's deliverance in verse 11, God's might in verse number 12. There was no path in verse 13, but he made a path. Verse 14, we find faith. In verse 15, Pharaoh is overthrown. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Verse 16, through the wilderness, and yet it says he led them. There were trials in the wilderness, yet God supplied for their needs. We could testify this morning in trials and tribulations and hardships of life. God has supplied for our needs. Verse number 17 through 20, he slew great kings. Verse 21, he gave them their land for their heritage. Verse 22, Israel was not always faithful to God, but God was always faithful to them. Aren't you glad God isn't always, hasn't left us when we're not faithful? God hasn't forsaken us. God has always been faithful to us. Verse 23, God remembered us in our low estate.